Lord, come and speak to us afresh your living word. Amen. Please take a seat. I wonder, what does it mean to believe? Before his crucifixion, Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe also in me." But in this morning's reading from the Gospel, Jesus' disciples seem to confuse believing with seeing. Philip wants to see God. And after the resurrection, Thomas famously says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." So what about you? Would believing be easier if you could see Jesus or see God? Today's gospel reading suggests that seeing is not the same as believing. When the disciples in the story see Jesus on the lakeside, they don't at first recognize him, even though they can see him. They don't understand, they don't believe, and they remain, spiritually speaking, in the dark. Yet the text does talk about Jesus showing himself to them. It's a story not so much about seeing as about revelation. And a revelation has to be received before anything can be understood. And in this story, it's gradual. The disciples go on a journey from not knowing to knowing. In verse 4, we're told, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. But by the time we get to verse 12, we're told, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So what's happened in between? How has the seeing come to become a revelation, a belief? There are basically three things going on here. First of all, Jesus has given the disciples a command when he sees them in the boat on the lake, but with empty nets. He commands them to cast the net to the right side of the boat, and they obeyed. Even though they had been fishing all night and caught nothing, they trusted this figure on the lakeside enough to carry out his instruction. And as a result, they were blessed with an abundance of fish as their nets were filled. So that's one milestone on the journey from doubt to belief. What do you believe God wants you to do? Do what you believe God wants you to do. And you will find your emptiness is replaced by God's abundance. Seek to follow Jesus' commands, and belief will follow. Practice generosity, and you will receive. Seek the kingdom of God first, and you'll find your other desires will be satisfied or will fade away. Forgive others, and you'll experience the overwhelming mercy of God. Pray by yourself, and you'll know that you are never alone. All of these are ways of obeying Jesus' commands and of discovering that your nets are being filled. Live as you think Jesus wants you to live, and believing in him will follow naturally. Then the next milestone is when the disciple whom Jesus loved says to Peter, "It is the Lord." The disciple whom Jesus loved has come to a point of recognition. And Peter impulsively jumps into the sea and heads for the shore where he finds Jesus. So Peter's believing comes about, at least in part, as a result of hearing the testimony of the beloved disciple. And that has always been an important part of how people come to believe in Jesus. When they hear others talking about how they came to recognize Jesus and come to faith. Last week we started a new Alpha course, and there were nearly 30 guests, not counting the leaders and hosts. And I don't think I've ever been involved in a Christian Basics course where there have been so many new people attending. And it's not because I invited them, or because we ran some big marketing campaign. It's chiefly because the people who did one of the Alpha courses last year invited their friends. And people who have come to believe have shared a little bit of their own story with others. And if you have a faith, the chances are it's because somebody else, at some point, gave you the impression that their belief was important and real and living. And then you wanted to find out a bit more for yourself. And then the third thing that takes the disciples forward on their journey from not knowing Jesus to knowing that it was the Lord was this shared meal with Jesus in the midst of them. There is this breakfast where Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." And it echoes very closely the story earlier in John's Gospel of the feeding of the 5,000. Another story of abundance, of Jesus feeding people with bread and fish, and where he invites them to contribute food, but where actually he's already provided it himself. The language is the language of Holy Communion, where Jesus is the host who invites, who came and took the bread and gave it to them, who provides more than enough, and who, after the earlier story, says, "I am the bread of life, the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Here in the setting of this meal, which we shall be celebrating this morning, none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Belief had taken them beyond merely seeing. And so it is for you and me. We grow into a deeper knowing and a more confident belief as we take part week by week in this little meal, where we share the testimony of the scriptures and where we receive bread and wine from Christ, who is our host. We are nourished by him, and we receive him, and we come to recognize him and know that he is in our midst. And in these three ways, the text of John chapter 21 enables a transition from the previous chapter, which was all about the upper room and the disciples seeing the risen Lord and Thomas questioning it. And it's as if there is a transition going on from the first generation of believers, those who were able literally to see Jesus as Thomas demanded. We see this transition going on to something that is available to all who come later, those who will be blessed because they believe even though they do not see. The Thomas story ends with Jesus saying, "How blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And here in chapter 21, we see how that can be possible by listening to the words of Jesus and keeping his commandments, by listening to the testimony of other disciples, and by taking part in community gatherings around meals where the presence of Jesus is acknowledged. And as the story of Peter goes on to show, belief is further strengthened by the assurance that Jesus loves and nourishes you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, however hard you may find it to forgive yourself and to love yourself. So there are many other different routes to belief in Christ. But what they tell us together, and what is at the heart of this Easter story, is that actually physical seeing is possibly the least important element of it all.